Welcome. My name is Dr. Christopher Taylor, and I want you to know that it's okay to be sad, that it's okay to feel lost, and that it's okay to struggle, that we all struggle. But today, none of that matters, because today is about you, and today is about helping you become the best you possible. So for now, relax, take a deep breath, and enjoy some thoughts for your self-examination. Welcome back to the show. I hope everyone had a great week, and I hope you enjoyed the first episode back. I thought it went really well, and we definitely would love to hear your thoughts. Always send us a message at @TCG_Dallas on Twitter. Of course, you're also always welcome to email us info@TaylorCounselingGroup.com, find us on Facebook, or just leave us a review here on your podcast station of choice. We got a lot going on today, so I don't want to waste any time. Lauren Gilland, from our Dallas office is with us tonight. She is a phenomenal therapist, and we're so very lucky to have her, currently working with us. So it's wonderful, to have her on board. And I'm going to give you a little info about her, and then we're just going to jump right into the interview because we got a lot of great stuff to talk about. So Lauren is a licensed professional counselor who earned her undergraduate degree in human development and family studies from Texas Tech University and her master's degree in biblical counseling from Dallas Theological Seminary. Her passion is walking alongside her clients on their journeys towards healing, peace, and a meaningful life. She is skilled and experienced in working with a wide variety of ailments, including anxiety, cultural conflict, depression, domestic violence, eating disorders, life transitions, mood disorders, personality disorders, relational strain, which is what we're talking about today, spiritual crisis, and many others. She works primarily with older adolescents and adults, and specializes in the integration of several different theories and systems, ACT, CBT, all the acronyms, all the initials, and family systems therapy and motivational interviewing. She loves to include creative elements such as art and music into her therapeutic work. So we are so very happy to have her on to talk about relationships today. Specifically friendships and how to develop them, maintain them, and grow them. So with that, we're just going to jump right in. If you've enjoyed this podcast, don't keep it a secret. Share it with your friends and family. Tell everyone. Put it on Twitter. We'd love it if you give us a 5-star rating and a review. We always love feedback. And then, of course, like and subscribe to make sure you don't miss an episode. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get yours. As a reminder, Taylor Counseling Group is in the DFW area with offices from Dallas to Fort Worth and in Waxahachie as well. We are also now in the Houston and San Antonio areas as well. So if you or somebody you know might be interested in getting some counseling, feel free to give us a call, 214-530-0021. You can send us an email, info@TaylorCounselingGroup.com, and you can look us up on the web at TaylorCounselingGroup.com. You can find us on Twitter as well, @TCG_Dallas. So if you need us, we're here, but if not, no worries. I just hope you enjoy the show. Lauren Gilland, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're so excited. So you've been with us for how long now?
Just over 2 years. I think it was 2 years at the beginning of October, I think. Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Just over 2 years. That's awesome. We're so happy to have you in our Dallas office, which we just moved into a new office. So that's been fun and exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm loving it.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Uh-huh.
Good. So this series is about deep, meaningful relationships built on trust. One of my thoughts is that there are three components to our capacity for happiness. The first one is boundaries, healthy boundaries, internal and external. Mm-hmm. Deep, meaningful relationships built on trust. In our last episode, we talked about the three core types of relationships, meaning friendships, familiar relationships, and romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. And then the third component to happiness is practicing gratitude daily. So mm-hmm. I think these three things, as we're doing them throughout our daily life, will definitely help us to increase our capacity for happiness. Mm-hmm. Today, we would like to get your professional view as a licensed professional counselor, in the scope of deep, meaningful relationships, and specifically into friendships. So, yeah. First off, do you think friendships are important, and why?
Yes, I think friendships are essential for our mental health and well-being, because we're all going to go through really hard stuff at points in life. And a lot of times it's going to blindside us and we're not going to see it coming. And sometimes your significant other or your family are not always the best people to go to. It's helpful to have deep, safe, trusting, warm friendships to be able to go to and call, in the middle of the night or last minute, or send a text message to or an email to and say, hey, this is what's going on. Do you have time for lunch? Do you have time for dinner? Do you, could I get your perspective on this? That friends can be a really great support, an essential support that we need in trials just that we face throughout our lives. Yeah.
So what would you say is different between a friendship mm-hmm. and a, say, romantic relationship or family relationship?
Oh, that's a great question.
Why is the friendship important versus a relationship with your spouse or partner or mm-hmm. with your brother or sister or parents? Like, why can't I just have a happy, healthy life with my partner and my family?
You probably can. But I would say, like, your family can be your friends, your spouse can be a friend. But your friends have the outside point of view of being kind of an unbiased party. They also offer a diversity in spreading out emotional burden, and particularly hard seasons of life. You don't want to burn out your spouse, or you don't want to burn out your family. And sometimes friends can help to carry some of that. Also, friends can sometimes help understand things that a spouse or a family member can't. Because our family members don't always have the same experiences as us. For instance, there's only one oldest child in every family system, or one youngest child, right? Right. And so there's going to be things that your family members or your spouse that they can't relate to. And it's important to have people who can relate to you, who can validate you, who can say, hey, you're not crazy in this and you're not alone. And I'm here for you and I'm going to be a listening ear. I would say that's kind of what separates them. And of course there's boundaries around those things as well that are very important. Cause I think you can have, friendships with women can have friendships with men and men can have friendships with women. And in those cases, you know, of course, boundaries are always going to be really important of what you confide in those friendships to keep them healthy.
Okay. So that's a great point, right? So let's talk a little bit about opposite sex friendships for a second.
Yeah.
Because I know for some people that can be really important and for other people that can feel uncomfortable. Especially say if you're married or in a long-term relationship, and your partner has a lot of opposite sex friends, or maybe just one friend that's really close. So what are your thoughts there?
Yeah. I think it's always helpful. At least in my experience, I've seen it be most beneficial and most helpful when the opposite gender friend is also in a relationship with somebody and there's a friendship with both individuals. That can be really helpful.
So like couple friends?
Yeah, kind of like couple friends in those situations.
My wife and I are trying to couple date right now. It's not going well.
It can be challenging for sure. I think for those that are single and dating, it's a little bit murkier. And I think that there has to be like really open communication with the person, especially if you're seriously dating, about that, about, okay, what are the boundaries? Because jealousy can definitely come in at that point. If it's a really close friend, say it's a lifelong friend of opposite gender and one of them starts dating somebody, then the new significant other may feel threatened by that other. And so finding ways to communicate and set boundaries. And maybe in some cases for a time period, that friendship might need some distance to make the romantic relationship feel safe for the significant other. And also knowing that sometimes friendships are for seasons. Sometimes friendships aren't always for forever.
So the depth of the friendship can increase and decrease over time as necessary.
Absolutely. Yeah. Fluctuate. You don't have to lose that friendship, but the closeness of the relationship may need to adjust.
Yeah. So
the relationship status.
Yeah. So we're best friends in high school, maybe not in college. And then maybe we get back together in young adult life because we're living in the same city or something.
Right.
Yeah. So that closeness can kind of ebb and flow. So that's great. That's good.
Right.
So it's two things I'm interested in. One is what defines a healthy relationship and how do I know if I'm in an unhealthy relationship?
Hmm.
And then the other thing, which we can talk about in a minute, is what if I don't have friends or if I don't have any deep friendships? How do I develop that?
Yeah. So I'll start with the first question, which was, what do healthy friendships look like, right? So I think healthy friendships have a quality of healthy boundaries, of course, within the friendship and mutual respect for one another. And expectations, I think, play a role sometimes. Sometimes we expect different things from our friends than what they're willing to give or are able to give. And I've seen that happen in my practice of, you know, I'm needing this or I'm expecting this from my friend and I'm not getting it. So maybe if I go back to kind of the example I was talking about earlier, if you're going through something really difficult and you reach out to the friend and you're not getting the support you want and you were expecting that, maybe you don't know that that friend is going through something difficult as well, of having reasonable expectations of friendships and what their responsibilities are and aren't, and having open communication and conversation sometimes about those things when needed. I'm a big believer in rupture and repair. So I think this is something really important to look at for knowing whether or not friendships are healthy or unhealthy and how conflict is dealt with within the friendship. So I think it's important to address ruptures in the friendship. If something happens, if somebody says something that hurts you or does something that hurts you or disappoints you or lets you down in some way, being able to say like, hey, I just wanted you to know that this really bothered me, that this really hurt me, is really important. I think that's healthy. And then having a discussion, doing it in a gracious and compassionate way, not in an attacking way. I think the approach is also important. But what it would look like, for instance, in an unhealthy situation is if you're going to another friend to talk about it in, say, it's a friend group, to vent about it and kind of getting into what, you know, we know in clinical language we call triangulating or whatever. So venting or gossiping about it or kind of creating a choosing sides situation among friends, like that's not a healthy friendship. That's not a healthy way to deal with conflict in friendship, because in every relationship that you have, there's going to be a point that some friction's going to happen, and how are you going to deal with that? And how are you dealing with that? How are your friends dealing with it? How are you dealing with it?
Yeah. So clinically, can you speak to why friction is always going to occur?
Because everybody is human. Because everybody is human, and so part of it comes to expectations. We all have different expectations of one another. Sometimes boundaries are drawn in different areas. Sometimes there's differing values that come into play. All of those types of situations, sometimes miscommunications happen, especially in an age where we communicate so much via text message. My rule is never try to resolve a conflict via text, because so much can get misconstrued, or email or any kind of written form. It's best to, the ideal is face to face, of really like sitting down and having a conversation. If you can't do that with your friends, then you might reevaluate, like, are these healthy friendships? Is the maturity there in those individuals to be able to have healthy friendships? I think healthy friendships are people that you can trust, people that you can be vulnerable with. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you can't be friends with people that you don't trust and can't be vulnerable with. They might just not be your inner circle of friends, right? Because we have kind of a
yeah, we have acquaintances.
A funnel yeah. of friendships, right? You have your best friends, and then you have your close friends, and then you have your social friends, and then acquaintances, and so on and so forth. Is the usual way that relationships work? Although, of course, in my practice, I do see people who are highly isolated that don't have anybody but their family, and codependency can also happen in friendships. I also want to say that I've seen that as well. And that's when a new friend comes into the picture and your friend, maybe best friend, is spending time with that person, not even more time, but just time with that person at all. And you start to feel jealous or threatened. That might be a flag for you.
How dare they? How dare they kill my friend?
Or you didn't invite me.
Yeah.
Not having to be invited to everything. Those types of things of looking out for flags like that, like dividing up the friendship or jealousy, breaches of trust and things like that. And when those things happen, it doesn't necessarily need to ruin the relationship. You don't have to disappear from the relationship. You can address it. And hopefully the other person is willing to step, what I like to say is step into the fire with you. Because what really makes healthy friendships healthier and deeper is when you're able to get into the fire with one another in a conflict, talk about it, work it out, and come out on the other side even better friends.
Yeah,
with an understanding of one another.
Yeah, and it galvanizes the friendship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, wonderful. So let's talk briefly about what can I do if I don't have friends? Especially right now when everyone's friendships are challenged and stressed. So maybe I don't feel like I have this idea of deep, meaningful relationships. Maybe I don't have a best friend. Is that something I should have? Is that something I need to have? And if it is, how do I get it? How do I make that happen? Especially as an adult.
So I would say, starting with, was there a recent time or that you did have friends, and maybe start reaching out to people that you haven't connected with in a while? A lot of times, people don't have friendships because they don't initiate with people. Learn how to initiate. It can be intimidating. It can be really challenging. Sometimes there can be fear of rejection. Of course, all of those things can be barriers to be worked through. But learn how to initiate and reach out to people. Don't wait. Don't sit back on your couch and wait for people to reach out to you. Be proactive. If there's nobody for you to reach out to from your past, it's a little bit difficult in the COVID period of time, but there are virtual meetups. There are virtual faith communities. There's virtual all kinds of different groups and things that you can get involved in. I know a lot of people that are involved in like Art House Dallas, that it's just artists and musicians and people that have similar interests, and start participating in things that I like this. What's a group that I can get involved in with other people who like this as well? And then when you go, don't just sit in the corner. Don't be the wallflower. Initiate, approach people, say hello, and do the work. And then some people you're going to connect with, some people that you aren't, but maybe one person you connect with, you invite to hang out at one point and they have a friend circle and then they invite you and it can trickle out more quickly than you think. In finding not just friendships, but I would say community.
Well, that is phenomenal advice for anyone struggling to develop friendships right now, especially now of all times. So can you leave us with an inspiring note? Anything that has inspired you recently?
Yeah. So one thing that inspires me that continues to inspire me always is actually my best friend, something that she does that she has taught me to do. And it's seeing the details of people and finding the humor in them. She's one that a clumsy thing that you do will never go unnoticed. And she sees it and she calls attention to it with whoever she's with, but not in a mocking kind of way, not in a ridiculing kind of way, but in an endearing kind of way of really looking and seeing the person that is in front of you and seeing the little details about them that are funny, that are sweet, that are beautiful, that are rich. Yeah. That has always been something that has inspired me about my best friend and something that I have been on a journey of learning from her as well.
Yeah, that's great. Makes me think of Good Will Hunting, Robin Williams.
I don't know if I've ever seen that.
You're a therapist. Have you not seen that?
I don't know. And I love Robin Williams as well. So I'll put that on the list of movies that I need to watch here in quarantine.
Yeah, there's a scene anyways. His wife is deceased, but there's a scene where he's talking to Matt Damon, his client, and he talks about his wife and he describes those annoying idiosyncrasies that we have. And then he says, you know, after she's gone, all I can think about are those things. So, it's a great scene. Very powerful. Very, very, very cool. So great. Well, thank you so much. This is a wonderful, wonderful insight into how to develop, maintain and grow deep, meaningful relationships, very healthy, deep, meaningful relationships. So thank you very much, Lauren.
You're very welcome.
We appreciate having you and keep being awesome, I guess.
Okay, thanks.
What an amazing interview with Lauren Gilland. Again, thank you so much for being on the show. If you'd like to learn more about our services or if you'd like to get in touch with Lauren, you can do so on our website at taylorcounselinggroup.com. And we'd be more than happy to answer any questions you have about the show. Again, you can always send us a message on Twitter at @TCG_Dallas and info@TaylorCounselingGroup.com. Now, as we wrap up, I just want to talk briefly about some of the things that we discussed in the show today. One, if you are struggling right now because of the pandemic or just in general with developing healthy friendships or developing friendships at all, I want you to know that you're not alone in that, that we all struggle with friendships from time to time, that it is difficult, especially in your adult life, to develop healthy friendships, deep, meaningful relationships built on trust. So if you're having an issue with a friend right now, or just a struggle going deeper in your relationships, I want to encourage you to take a moment, take out your phone, text, email, call someone from your life that you might not have talked to for a while. Maybe somebody that you might think you're in a rough patch with, and just reach out and send them some encouragement. Tell them that you're grateful that they're in your life and whatever capacity that they're in. And maybe see if you can find time to get together for coffee or lunch or drinks or over Zoom or just a phone call. You know, set up that time and reach out. And yeah, a couple people might ignore you and a couple people might say no, but keep doing it. Keep reaching out until you develop those healthy, deep, meaningful relationships that you want in your life. Until next time, I'm Dr. Christopher Taylor, and this is For Self-Examination.